A few days ago, I saw an episode of Through the Keyhole, a reboot of a TV show that was originally presented by David Frost back in the 80s and 90s. Anybody remember seeing it then or more recently? If you've never seen it, the show takes you inside the home of a mystery celebrity, then a panel of other celebrities back in the studio have to guess whose house it is on the basis of various objects that have been focused upon. I would describe the show as diverting drivel. But it did get me thinking, if somebody came through the keyhole of the vicarage, what would they pick out? And what would it say about me? Would they be able to identify who I am by what they see in my home? Well, I've chosen five things that I think would be good clues as to who I am. So I'll share those with you. First of all, a book that I have in my toilet that says 50 Shoes That Changed the World. As we all know, shoes can indeed change the world. You would also see my rather attractive handbag for garden tools. It's rather glamorous, isn't it? So all my gardening tools are kept in there. They might also focus upon a paintbrush, and for those listening online, this is not for watercolour, this is for painting walls, because that's something I greatly enjoy doing. Also, a rather attractive Kath Kidston cake stand. Not because I enjoy baking, but because I enjoy eating. So that goes there. And then last of all, they might spot right inside the front door our palm crosses from this year that we keep just as you come in the door. Well, all of us express who we are in the way that we decorate our homes, the way that we dress, the books that we read, the music that we listen to, the food that we eat, the way we spend our time, the way we spend our money, and so the list goes on. If somebody went through your keyhole, what clues might they find, and what would they say about you? Over the next 5 weeks in our services, as Nick has said, we're going to be exploring the theme of what's called whole life discipleship. And we're starting today by thinking about what it means to be a disciple. I said a moment ago that our homes are full of clues about who we are. But what clues do we leave that tell other people that we are Christians? How would they pick that up? Perhaps the most obvious clue is that we spend our Sunday mornings in church rather than at Sainsbury's or at the rugby club or round at Archibald's enjoying a nice brunch whilst reading the papers. But being a Christian is more than just going to church. It's about who we are and about what we do on every single day of the week, not just what we do on Sunday mornings. So let's take a look at the story that we heard from Mark's gospel about Jesus calling the first disciples. Mark tells us, as we just heard from Nigel, that Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. What I find interesting about this story is that when Simon and Andrew choose to follow Jesus, it shapes, or rather reshapes, their identity. They go from being fishermen to being fishers of men, to use the non-inclusive term, but it links better with the word fisherman. They're still the same two men that they always were, and yet somehow they're different as well, because their lives have been reorientated. They still fish, it's just now they do everything they always did, but they do it for Jesus. Paul makes the same point in our reading from Colossians. He says, you've taken off your old self. You've put on the new self. Here there is no Gentile nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all and in all. Like Mark, he's talking about the change of identity that happens when you choose to follow Jesus. He talks about the old self and the new self. But he's also saying that those other identities, their cultural identities, whether they're Jew or Gentile, they become less important because Christ is all, because everything is orientated around Jesus. So being a disciple of Jesus means, being a Christian means being a disciple of Jesus, someone who chooses to follow Jesus And someone who chooses to reorientate their lives around him, life takes on a new focus. The collective word for a group of disciples is the church. The church is not something that we do or go to. The church is who we are. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you are part of the church. You belong to it. And we choose to express our identity as the church by meeting together on Sundays or during the week. Come follow me, Jesus says. I will send you out to fish for people. You'll be the same, but you'll be different as well. So being a Christian isn't about coming to church on Sunday. It's about learning alongside the other disciples what it means to follow Jesus. And following Jesus is expressed in everything that we do. And on the grounds that we spend about 1 hour a week in church and 167 hours outside the walls of this building, then faith is largely lived out there, not in here. Now, on one level, it sounds easy and obvious. All we need to do is what we see Jesus doing in the Gospels, a bit like a paint-by-numbers picture that you might remember from childhood. Just, if Jesus does this, well, we do that. If Jesus does this, we do that. Like Paul says in the Colossians reading, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Over all these virtues, put on love. The thing is that I don't think the picture is quite as simple as that. Because every day I experience countless things that don't actually feature in the Gospels, things that I don't see Jesus doing. I don't see him negotiating with a teenage girl who spends hours on social media. So that means I'm not sure what Jesus would do. And sometimes I don't actually know what is loving. And I'm not entirely sure how to act as a Christian. For example, what is a Christian response to a missile strike in Syria? What is a Christian response to the use of chemical weapons? What is a Christian response when a burglar is killed by a man defending his home and family? What's a Christian response to taxpayers' money being spent on a royal wedding? What is a Christian response to the many ethical situations that we face every day? I have some answers to some of those questions, but I'm not entirely sure. Because sometimes the loving, Christ-like action is obvious, and we simply need to be obedient, to put into practice what we see Jesus doing. But other times it isn't. Other times we really have to think about it and work it out. A number of Christian writers have described this experience of working out how to be a disciple as one of faithful improvisation. Imagine for a moment that a previously unknown Shakespeare play is discovered. The script is complete, except that there is one scene missing. To perform the play, the missing scene will have to be improvised by a group of actors, and to improvise that scene well, they will have to immerse themselves in the rest of the plot. They'll have to get to know the characters. They'll have to be familiar with Shakespeare's other works. And only those who know the play incredibly well and know the author well are able to judge whether the improvised scene rings true. In a similar way, the Bible is like a drama that comes in five acts. The first four acts are creation, fall, the history of Israel, and Jesus. And then the fifth act begins with the birth of the church, and it ends with the creation being made new in Revelation. But there's a missing scene in the middle of this fifth and final act, and that is the scene in which we live. So our task is to faithfully improvise that scene in the light of all that's gone before and in the light of all that is coming. But not just any improvisation will do. Our improvisation will be judged by its faithfulness to that larger story and to the author. So in order to be disciples of Jesus, in order to improvise this scene faithfully and imaginatively, we need to know the author. We need to know God. If we're people who are living for him, if we're going to work out how to live for him, we have to get to know him. So being a disciple is also about growing in relationship with God through Jesus, so that we truly understand and experience the nature of God. We know what God would do because we know God. We know what he's like. Earlier this week, Henry, who's sitting in the middle there, was telling me that the council have planted a new tree outside his house, and they wrote to him and asked if he would do them a nice favour of watering it on their behalf to enable it to grow. John, who's at the back on the sound desk, then went on to say that, well, in order to help do that, they put those handy rubber pipes that go from the surface right down to the roots. I thought, I've always wondered why there are pipes sticking out there. I just thought it was a sloppy job where they hadn't finished it properly. It transpires that they put the pipe there so the water can go right to the roots of the plant, take the life right where it's needed. Isn't that clever? Aren't I stupid? As Christian disciples, that image stayed with me all week, Henry, that image of this sort of planting something and wanting and hoping that it will last and grow. You know, we as Christians are like those saplings. We need water direct to the roots if we are going to grow. And so it begs a question for us as we think about being followers of Jesus. What is feeding you? What's feeding me? Who or what is helping you to grow in faith? What is giving you life and keeping you going? And how could we help one another grow? I've thrown a lot of ideas at you this morning as we've got a limited amount of time. But I've said that being a Christian isn't about just going to church. It's about reorientating our lives around Jesus. It's that change of identity where we are still the same and yet somehow we're different because life has taken on this new focus. I've talked about expressing our identity in the way that we live and that being a disciple today involves faithful improvisation because it isn't always easy and it isn't always obvious what we should do and how we should live. And I've talked about the need to grow in relationship with God, to get to know the author of this great story better, to feed the roots of our faith so that we can really grow and flourish. Lots to think about, and I hope questions that we will explore over the coming week as we think about not just what we do for the 1 hour here every week, but as we think about our life in the places where God has called us to be and where God so longs us to live as his people. So if somebody went through your keyhole, what clues might they find? And what do those clues say about you? Amen.